Only.
All right, everyone. Good afternoon. It is February 17th, and this is House Committee on Rules. Representative Huffman is not joining us today. He is ill. So with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Joint Resolution 202A and invite up Representative Evans. And if Cameron and Wayne want to join him, that would be fantastic as well.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HJR 202 refers amendment of Article 15 of Oregon Constitution to voters to require 2% of net proceeds from state lottery revenues be dedicated to benefit veterans beginning on or after July 1, 2017. This measure comes to you from your House Veterans and Emergency Preparedness Committee. It also comes to you with a fiscal and revenue impact statement. The fiscal impact statement primarily addresses the cost of the voter's pamphlet, as it is an indeterminate cost because we do not know how many measures nor how many voter-supported statements are going to be in the voter's pamphlet come this fall. And then it also comes with a revenue impact, simply to say that it does not impact on current revenue. It just explains, though, where current lottery dollars are dedicated towards.
Great. Thank you. Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair Williamson, members of the Rules Committee. I actually had something more prepared today to kick this off with, but events of today have kind of refocused a little bit. As I was trying to figure out what I was going to say, I was reminded of a line from the August 1963 speech by Martin Luther King, "The fierce urgency of now." 22 veterans a day commit suicide. We have 350,000 veterans living in the state of Oregon. The VA only caters and supports 100,000 of them, if that. It is estimated that the 250,000 veterans that are not receiving services could bring in somewhere around $3 to $4 billion in direct and indirect support. Those are the stats. The folks that are here today are the faces of the veterans that live in Oregon. For 14 years, we have been fighting a war differently than we've ever fought a war before. We currently have five eras of veterans alive, and we have in excess of 5,000 homeless veterans. We have veterans struggling to get basic medical care. We have veterans struggling with challenges that keep them in and out of the correction system. We need support, we need help, and after many years of trying to find different ways to get general fund and different other approaches, this vehicle, which is 2% of the lottery, is not it's not a perfect answer. I know that people are very nervous about committing lottery dollars, but I will tell you there's no other way. And this also fixes the constitutional issue where in the past, when we tried to get legislation to just use some of the money from lottery, there was questions as to whether the law would allow us to do so because it wasn't clarified as one of the uses in the bill or in the lottery. So I'm here today asking, pleading with you actually, on behalf of the 250,000 veterans that need help, that this is one way. It is the most consequential, if passed, it will be the most consequential veterans legislation in Oregon history. It would allow the Director Smith and all the veteran voluntary groups an opportunity to do outreach, to bring people together, to focus on areas where we can share services. It will fundamentally transform the lives of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of veterans. That's why I'm bringing it to you today. It is time to act now. And I'm going to turn it over to Representative or to Director Smith to explain the specifics.
Thank you.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Cameron Smith, the director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And I am incredibly proud of our team at ODVA and our partners that are serving veterans across the state. Our vision is nothing less than that veterans and their families thrive in Oregon. Our mission, we serve and honor our veterans through our leadership, our advocacy, and our strong partnerships. We do so with our core values of respect, integrity, stewardship, and excellence in all that we do. We are proud of our team and of our efforts, but I come before you not as a director today, but as a proud Marine who served three tours in Iraq and now as a proud veterans advocate. Across Oregon, we have 330,000 veterans, four generations across five major wars. World War II, the greatest generation. Korea, our forgotten war. Vietnam, 37% of our veterans population today, aging veterans, Vietnam veterans, did not receive a welcome home in their own time and are now just engaging with the system of benefits. Gulf War, 25 years to this month from when combat operations ended from the first Gulf War, and Iraq and Afghanistan, still almost 15 years after 9/11 to this year, to this September, that we still have thousands deploying. We just welcomed home the 116th Air Control Squadron of the Oregon National Guard to Camp Withycombe just last month, and today honored one of the Oregon National Guard's own, Alex Scarlatos, both in the House and in the Governor's ceremonial office. Our greatest opportunity as a state is to target veteran services, and we have a proud system 70 years strong from 1945, that final year of World War II, fighting as the advocate in the corner of Oregon veterans as they fight to access their earned, what are largely their federal VA benefits. In 2014, our efforts with the veteran service officers, both at the county level and with the service organizations, helped draw down $1.3 billion in cold, hard cash of disability benefits and low-income pensions for Oregonian veterans. That was up $200 million from just 2013. If we looked back a decade to 2003, it was only $455 million. We had a significant infusion under then-Governor Kulongoski of about $3.5 million passed down to our county VSO partners, and that strength built on our 70-year system of veteran services to help increase almost by double just the amount of disability compensation and low-income pension. For our larger counties like Multnomah, Lane, Clackamas, that's over $100 million every year flowing into the county, into the bank accounts and wallets of our veterans and their families. It's a major economic impact in our more rural communities where our veterans are smaller in numbers but make up a quarter to a third of the population. But we know, while we are proud of that system, we know we are leaving money on the table. Almost Oklahoma, with a few more thousand veterans than our 330,000 plus that we estimate in Oregon, Oklahoma draws down $1.8 billion in disability compensation and pension. That's $500 million extra for their disabled veterans every year, $1 billion of biennial benefit that we could be tapping into further, not just to the benefit of veterans and their families, but to preserve state general fund services and more deeply serve all Oregonians. And today we do that off of $10 million in general fund, half of which flows down to the county partners in the veteran services offices in all of your counties. The rest of our funds are other funds contributed by veterans paying their interest on their veteran home loans and for the veteran skilled nursing facilities, veterans helping fund their own state benefits. Beyond targeting veteran services, we know that we need to drive veteran engagement. This is for our returning veterans, our women veterans that are the largest rising demographic in our veterans population, about 9% today, and will make up a quarter to a third over the next 20 years. Our Vietnam veterans and our aging veterans, our rural veterans, and importantly, our veteran and our military families. We can better align and leverage not just the disability compensation, but federal VA health care dollars. Every year, $1 billion in health care benefits is paid both through the medical centers and in the community clinics and in community care. That's $2 billion every biennium that we aren't looking at in terms of how do we address the health care challenges for all Oregonians. On the GI Bill front, $140 million every year in scholarships to our community colleges and universities. Right now in House Human Services and Housing, they're discussing the HUD-VASH program, what we can do both with counties, both urban and rural, to better house our homeless veterans. Beyond targeting veteran services and driving veteran engagement, this is about mobilizing partnerships. This is not about the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And do not tell the co-chairs or the governor or Ken Rocco or George Naughton, but I do not care if a dollar of this revenue comes to the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. It is about serving our veterans. With our fellow state agencies, the Oregon Health Authority, Human Services, Education, Corrections, our cities and counties, our tribal partners, our tribal veterans have served at a higher level per capita than any other ethnicity. This is about tapping into our businesses, our nonprofits, our community colleges, and our universities to better address complex challenges like unemployment, homelessness, and suicide prevention. These are complex issues where we can come together as Oregonians to solve them for veterans and all of our citizens. Budgets are about values and about priorities, but too often we become fixated on a number. A little over $20 million will not solve every challenge and complex challenges that our veterans and their families face, but it is through our collaboration and our creativity and our bipartisan nature of coming together around veterans and military issues that is the greatest opportunity in this resolution. Today, one of our most vocal supporters of our military and veterans, Senator Boquist, Colonel Boquist, and his family lost their son, Seth Sprague, U.S. Navy. 31 years old, he survived the battlefield only to lose the battle in reintegration back home. It can happen to the strongest among us. Senator Boquist is chair of the Senate Veterans Committee, a position that he was given across the aisle by the Senate president, who also sits on Senate Vets. Senate today conducted no business in honor of Senator Boquist and Seth Sprague and his family. I can think of no greater honor than for this committee to set aside any differences that we have and to come together as Oregonians, to, when we have heard all the testimony today, to close the public hearing on HJR 202 and immediately open the public or the work session on HJR 202 and send it unanimously to the floor for the full consideration of your colleagues and to send it unanimously over to Senator Boquist's committee in the Senate, Senate Veterans Committee, for their consideration and ultimately for the consideration of the Oregon voters this November. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Hardy.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my fellow veterans and distinguished guests. For the record, my name is Wayne Harvey, and I am the current chairman of the United Veterans Groups of Oregon, the UVGO, and the current president of the Retired Enlisted Association, TRIA, here in Oregon. UVGO is made up of military veterans from 11 different veterans organizations, the Air Force Association, the American Legion, AMVETS, the Disabled American Veterans, DAV, the Korean War Veterans Association, the Military Officers Association of America, MOA, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, the Retired Enlisted Association, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, and the Vietnam Veterans of America, VVA. We come together to present a unified position on matters concerning the welfare of Oregon's 330,000 veterans and their dependents and or survivors. The current needs of the veterans community exceed the state's budgeted funds to the Department of Veterans Affairs. House Joint Resolution 202 with the -3 amendment will help to provide the needed assistance to those veterans and their families that are most in need of this assistance. Given today's challenging fiscal environment, allocating lottery dollars directly to helping the veterans of Oregon will improve their lives dramatically. These funds can go a long way to help with prevention of veteran suicide, combating veterans' homelessness, veterans' unemployment, assisting with veterans' disability services, veterans' education and reintegration efforts, as well as many other needs in the veterans community. On behalf of the members of the UVGO member organizations, my fellow veterans and retirees and their families, I come before you today to go on the record expressing our support for House Joint Resolution 202, and I ask for your support moving this bill out of the committee today and to the floor with a due pass recommendation for a vote as needed. Hopefully, with the help of the Senate, this can go to the November ballot and to the people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Before I open it up for questions, I want to thank you all for being here, for your service, and for your advocacy. So thank you. Questions or comments for the panel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one question. It's rhetorical. But the Oregon Lottery for years has used the motto, "It does good things." If that's true, why weren't veterans part of their original plan? It's time, and I could not have stronger support for this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
That, I'm going to close the public hearing on HJR 202A. I'm going to open a work session on HJR 202A.
Madam Chair, with your approval, I move HJR 202A with a B adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HJR 202A with a B adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Question.
Yes, Representative Barnhart.
I haven't seen it yet, and it may very well be there. Is there a bill to establish a ballot title for this measure?
There is not one at this time.
Is it planned that there will be one?
Madam Chair, Representative Barnhart, we do have a measure that could be used for that purpose if the advocates choose to do that. Otherwise, this measure would go through the regular Attorney General ballot title process. But there is an opportunity in this committee with a bill.
It would be a shame to lose a measure like this at the ballot because it got the wrong title.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
I got my question answered.
All right. Is there any objection? Motion carries. Carrier will be Representative Evans. Thank you. I will close the work session on HJR 202A, and we're going to go directly to the next one. So I am going to open a work session on House Bill 4046. You may recall, colleagues, that this was a bill that we saw briefly on the floor of the House. There had been an issue identified about the mandatory minimum sentencing included in the bill, and we realized that we needed to take that out for technical reasons. So you will see the -A6 amendments that take out the language that actually coincidentally was amended in towards the end of the work on that ballot measure in its original committee. So that removes that language, makes a technical fix, and we will send it back to the floor.
Respectfully, Madam Chair, I move the -A6 amendment to House Bill 4046A.
Representative Gilliam has moved the -A6 amendments into House Bill 4046A. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
So, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4046A with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved House Bill 4046A with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Not. The motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Krieger. I'm going to close the work session on 4046A and open a work session on 4047A. 4079A.
And
whatever. Yes, that one. Next one.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4079A was heard yesterday in this committee. It requires Land Conservation and Development Commission working with other state agencies and local governments to establish and implement affordable housing pilot projects. You have a -A7 amendment that I believe was presented yesterday by Representative Stark. It requires Land Conservation and Development Commission to establish site selection process to select two pilot projects nominated by local government, one from a city with less than 25,000 and one from a city with more than 25,000 by July 1st, 2017. It includes Marion, Polk, the Yamhill counties and cities within local governments within Jefferson County served by North Unit Irrigation District from nomination or selection under pilot program. It excludes Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties and cities from within nomination or selection under pilot program. Limits total acreage of all lots and parcels included in each pilot site to not greater than 50 acres. This measure does have a fiscal impact. We did receive a statement from LFO to that effect. We do have permission from the speaker to refer this measure down to Ways and Means.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, will you accept a very stark amendment? Sorry. He's never heard that joke before. Madam Chair, I move the -A7 amendment to House Bill 4079A.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved the -A7 amendments into House Bill 4079A. Is there any discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I intend to oppose this amendment. I would prefer the -9s, although I doubt that they would be approved, so I'm not going to move them.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Kenemer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also will be a no for a different reason.
I was informed on Thursday by some folks that a set of four different housing bills were assembled with the speaker behind closed doors, and no other legislators involved, and there are not to be amendments added to those bills. And for that reason, I'll be voting no on this and the remaining three bills. I think it's a violation of our process.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Right, Zoe, can you call the roll? Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
No.
Representative Huffman.
Excused.
Representative Henemer.
No.
Representative Rayfield.
Yes.
Representative Smith Warner.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hoyle.
No.
Aye.
Chair Williamson.
Aye. Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4079A with a due pass as amended recommendation, and the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved House Bill 4079A with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
Yes. Yes.
All right, we'll call the roll. I knew that.
Representative Barnhart.
No.
Representative Huffman.
Excused.
Representative Kenner.
No.
Representative Rayfield.
Yes.
Representative Smith Warner.
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hoyle?
No.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
Aye.
Chair Williamson?
Aye. Motion passes. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 4079A. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 4085. Representative Rayfield, do you want to quickly talk about your Dash 2 amendments again, or do you feel like we covered those?
Just to make the record abundantly clear, we covered it very well yesterday, and so if you wanted to see that record, please look at yesterday's February 16th, 2016 hearing.
Excellent. Thank you. From Balhoa.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 4085.
Vice Chair Hoyle has moved the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 4085. Is there any discussion? Zoe, can you call the roll? Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Excused.
Representative Kenemer.
Aye.
Representative Rayfield.
Yes.
Representative Smith Warner.
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hoyle?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
Nay.
Chair Williamson?
Aye. Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4085 with the due pass as amended recommendation, and the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Chair Hoyle has moved House Bill 4085 with a due pass as amended recommendation, and that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, this measure did not have a subsequent referral, but there is an appropriation request to the Secretary of State. So we have been given permission to send this measure to Ways and Means for their full consideration.
Thank you. Senator Kenemer.
Madam Chair, I don't support this. I think the limits are too low. So.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll not be in support.
Call the roll. Thank you.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Yes.
Representative Kenner. Representative Rayfield.
Yes.
Representative Smith Warner.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Vice Chair Hoyle.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
Nay.
Chair Williamson.
Aye. Motion passes. We'll close the work session on House Bill 4085. I will open a work session on House Bill 4130.
Okay, so thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 4130. 30 is a good bill that was worked on in a bipartisan manner intended to make uniform public records request system, not just through the state level, but also through the county and city level. The amendments that we made account for exceptions to public bodies that are closed for certain periods of time, for instance, school districts that are not open during the summer, or certain special districts that don't have full-time staff people to fill public records requests from the 5-day and 30-day deadlines. We also removed the emergency clause and the $30 hourly limit based on testimony that we heard here in the last public hearing, because sometimes specialized people have to be hired for the public records process, so we didn't want to limit that ability. I have some clarifying points to make about the legislative intent of the bill. In the Dash 10 amendments in Section 1, there are three options given for a public body to respond after the 30-day period had passed. The intent is that the public body chooses one option, and the option doesn't apply automatically. The legislative intent behind this bill, when it says that responses to public records requests should be in a standard form, it's not that every public body has to have the same system, but rather that public bodies has a standard response in use for all public records requests it receives, and really so that people can get the same type of information when they make a request. Also, when the bill says the public body claims an exemption to the request, they must explain with specificity. The intent is to require a brief standard explanation in lay terms so that people understand why their request may be taking longer, in addition to the statutory citation. And it is not intended to cause a burden, and that's why we've been working hard to address the different concerns with many different groups. I believe the Dash 10 amendments cover these concerns. This is a really good beginning, and I think that we can do more. I do want to specifically thank a number of people who came in and worked with us, even after reading the bill and having great concerns, specifically Mark Landauer, Morgan Allen, Scott Winkles, Rob Bavette, and Andy Smith from the City of Portland. I really appreciate the cooperative way that you worked with us. Again, this is bipartisan, and I think this can really make a difference. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Representative Kenemer.
Thank you. For example, AOC or Association of Cities, have they withdrawn their concerns?
I'm fine. Chair Williamson, for the record, my name is Scott Winkles. I represent the League of Oregon Cities, and we have withdrawn any and all opposition or concerns with this piece of legislation, and I'm happy to put on the record and thank Representative Hoyle and Representative Davis for working with us in such a cooperative way. I think this bill really does move transparency forward in Oregon.
Thank you. And I know you can't speak for AOC, but do they share similar view of these amendments?
Chair Williamson, Representative Kenemer, they haven't expressed any to me. I will not say on the record what another represented organization feels.
Representative Hoyle.
Thank you for the question, Representative Kenemer. From what we have been communicated with, all of their concerns were addressed, so they said they would not be in opposition. So
I thank you for that, Representative Hoyle. As a former county commissioner, I had grave concerns as I went through the earlier draft it would be difficult in Clackamas County to comply with what was originally requested and at the prices and so forth. It would have been impossible in some of our counties, that would have been my belief. And if you've really met those objections, you do deserve a special badge of honor.
I just want to say again, because the people that we worked with came forward in such an honest and forthright manner, telling us what the concerns were, and we're willing to work to make sure that we could have a better process for public records requests. and for people to get information. We were able to address those concerns, and Representative Davis was also fantastic to work with, but I feel like we've got a good product, and I hope that we're able to vote on this. We will be sending it to Ways and Means because one of the provisions in this bill is to have the clerks, the county clerks, communicate with the Secretary of State's office when there is a local election being held, and then we can have one place to have all that information, which will be both helpful to the clerks and helpful to those people that are trying to find out where elections are being held, as opposed to calling every city and every county on a weekly basis. So there may be a small fiscal, although we were told it is minimal. It should move through Ways and Means very quickly from our understanding, but this bill will be going to Ways and Means, hopefully for a very short trip.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To Vice Chair Hoyle, I agree, Mr. Winkles. Mark Landauer were spectacular in helping. Can you say a word about the more outstanding legislators that were on the committee?
You know, thank you, Vice Chair Gilliam, but some things are better left unsaid. have a tremendous work group, and again, people came together to say, how do we move things forward? How do we get things done? So it was Representative Hack, Vice Chair Gilliam himself, Representative Rayfield, Representative Lively, myself, and Representative Davis. And I think this just shows that when we sit down and work together and really focus on mutual best interests, we can accomplish some great things. Kumbaya.
Any other questions for Representative Hoyle? Not, I will take a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the -10 amendment to House Bill 4130.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved the -10 amendments into House Bill 4130. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion carries.
Then, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4130 with the due pass as amended recommendation, and the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved House Bill 4130 with the due pass as amended recommendation, and the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. I will close the work session on House Bill 4130. Erin, do we have any more work to do?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that completes our agenda today. We currently do not have an agenda posted for Friday, so please stay tuned, and we will be in touch.
Excellent. Thank you. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Excellent. Thank you. With that, we're adjourned.